On the Trinity, Book 5, Chapter 1, What the Author Entreats from God, What from the Reader, In God Nothing is to be Thought Corporeal or Changeable. Beginning, as I now do henceforward, to speak of subjects which cannot altogether be spoken as they are thought, either by any man, or at any rate, not by myself, although even our very thought, when we think of God the Trinity, falls, as we feel, very short of him of whom we think, nor comprehends him as he is. But he is seen, as it is written, even by those who are so great as was the Apostle Paul, through a glass and in an enigma. First, I pray to our Lord God himself, of whom we ought always to think, and of whom we are not able to think worthily, in praise of whom blessing is at all times to be rendered, and whom no speech is sufficient to declare, that he will grant me both help for understanding and explaining that which I design, and pardon if in anything I offend. For I bear in mind not only my desire, but also my infirmity. I also ask of my readers to pardon me, where they may perceive me to have had the desire rather than the power to speak, what they either understand better themselves, or fail to understand through the obscurity of my language, just as I myself pardon them what they cannot understand through their own dullness. And we shall mutually pardon one another the more easily if we know, or at any rate firmly believe and hold, that whatever is said of a nature unchangeable, invisible, and having life absolutely and sufficient to itself, must not be measured after the custom of things visible, and changeable, and mortal, or not self-sufficient. But although we labor, and yet fail to grasp and know even those things which are within the scope of our corporeal senses, or which we ourselves in the inner man, yet it is with no shamelessness that faithful piety burns after those divine and unspeakable things which are above. Piety, I say, not inflated by the arrogance of its own power, but inflamed by the grace of its Creator and Savior himself. For with what understanding can man apprehend God, whom does not yet apprehend that very understanding itself of his own, by which he desires to apprehend him? And if he does already apprehend this, let him carefully consider that there is nothing in his own nature better than it, and let him see whether he can there see any outlines of forms, or brightness of colors, or greatness of space, or distance of parts, or extension of size, or movement through intervals of place, or any such thing at all. Certainly, we find nothing of all this in that which we find nothing better in our own nature, that is, in our own intellect, by which we apprehend wisdom according to our capacity. What, therefore, we do not find in that which is our own best, we ought not to seek in him who is far better than the best of ours, that so we may understand God, if we are able, and as much as we are able, as good without quality, great without quantity, a creator, though he lack nothing, ruling but from no position, sustaining all things without having them, in his wholeness everywhere, yet without place, eternal without time, making things that are changeable, without change of himself, and without passion. Whoever thus thinks of God, although he cannot yet find out in all ways what he is, yet piously takes heed, as much as he is able, to think nothing of him that he is not. Chapter 2. God the Only Unchangeable Essence. He is, however, without doubt, a substance, or, if it be better so to call it, an essence which the Greeks call. For as wisdom is so called from the being wise, and knowledge from knowing, so from being comes that which we call essence. And who is there that is, more than he who said to his servant Moses, I am that I am, and thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, who has sent me unto you? But other things that are called essences or substances admit of accidents, whereby a change, whether great or small, is produced in them. but there can be no accident of this kind in respect to God, and therefore he who is God is the only unchangeable substance or essence, to whom certainty, being itself, whence comes from the name of essence, most especially and most truly belongs. For that which is changed does not retain its own being, and that which can be changed, although it be not actually changed, is able not to be that which it had been. And hence that which not only is not changed, but also cannot at all be changed, alone falls more truly, without difficulty or hesitation, under the category of being. Chapter 3. The argument of the Arians is refuted, which is drawn from the words begotten and unbegotten. Wherefore, to being now to answer the adversaries of our faith, respecting those things also, which are neither said as they are thought, nor thought as they really are, among the many things which the Arians are wont to dispute against the Catholic faith, they seem chiefly to set forth this, as their most crafty device, namely, that whatsoever is said or understood of God is said not according to accident, but according to substance, and therefore to be unbegotten belongs to the Father according to substance, and to begotten belongs to the Son according to substance. But to be unbegotten and to be begotten are different. Therefore, the substance of the Father and that of the Son are different. To whom we reply, if whatever is spoken of God is spoken according to substance, then that which is said, I and the Father are one, is spoken according to substance. Therefore, there is one substance of the Father and the Son. Or, if this is not said according to substance, then something is said of God not according to substance, and therefore we are no longer compelled to understand unbegotten and begotten according to substance. It is also said of the Son, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We ask, equal according to what? For if he is not said to be equal according to substance, then they admit that something may be said of God not according to substance. Let them admit then that unbegotten and begotten are not spoken according to substance, and if they do not admit this, on the ground that they will have all things to be spoken of God according to substance, then the Son is equal to the Father according to substance. Chapter 4. The accidental always implies some change in the thing. That which is accidental commonly implies that it can be lost by some change of the thing to which it is an accident. For although some accidents are said to be inseparable, which in Greek are called, as the color black is to the feather of a raven, yet the feather loses that color, not indeed so long as it is a feather, but because the feather is not always. Wherefore, the matter itself is changeable. And whichever that animal or that feather ceases to be, and the whole of that body is changed and turned into earth, it loses certainly that color also. Although the kind of accident which is called separable may likewise be lost, not by separation, but by change, as, for instance, blackness is called a separable accident to the hair of men, because hair continuing to be hair can grow white. Yet, if carefully considered, it is sufficiently apparent that it is not as if anything departed by separation away from the head when it grows white, as through blackness departed thence and went somewhere and whiteness came in its place, but that the quality of color there is turned and changed. Therefore, there is nothing accidental in God, because there is nothing changeable or that may be lost. But if you choose to call that also accidental, which, although it may not be lost, it can be decreased or increased, as for instance the life of the soul, for as long as it is a soul, so long as it lives, and because the soul is always, it always lives, but because it lives more than it is wise, and less when it is foolish, here too, some change comes to pass. Not such that life is absent, as wisdom is absent to the foolish, but such that it is less, Nothing of this kind either happens to God, because he remains altogether unchangeable. Chapter 5. Nothing is spoken of God according to accident, but according to substance, or according to relation. Wherefore, nothing in him is said in respect to accident, since nothing is accidental to him, and yet all that is said is not said according to substance. For in created and changeable things, that which is not said according to substance must by necessary alternative be said according to accident. For all things are accidents to them which can be either lost or diminished, whether magnitudes or qualities, and so also is that which is said in relation to something, as friendships, relationships, services, likenesses, equalities, and anything else of the kind. So also positions and conditions, places and times, acts and passions. But in God nothing is said to be according to accident, because in him nothing is changeable, and yet everything that is not said according to substance. For it is said in relation to something, as the Father in relation to the Son, and the Son in relation to the Father, which is not accident, because both the one is always Father, and the other is always Son, yet not always, meaning from the time when the Son was born, natus, so that the Father ceases not to be the Father, because the Son never ceases to be the Son, but because the Son was always born, and never began to be the Son. But if he had begun to be at any time, or were at any time to cease to be the Son, then he would be called Son according to accident. But the Father, in that he is called the Father, were so called in relation to himself, not to the Son, and the Son, in that he is called the Son, were so called in relation to himself, not to the Father, then both one would be called the Father, and the other Son, according to substance. But because the Father is not called the Father, except in that he has a Son, and the Son is not called the Son, except in that he has a Father, these things are not said according to substance. Because each of them is not so called in relation to himself, but the terms are used reciprocally and in relation each to the other. Nor yet according to accident, because both being called the Father and the being called the Son is eternal and unchangeable to them. Wherefore, although to be the Father and to be the Son is different, yet their substance is not different, because they are so called, not according to substance, but according to relation, which is relation, however, is not accident, because it is not changeable. Chapter 6. Reply is made to the cavilees of the heretics in respect to the same words begotten and unbegotten. But if they think they can answer this reasoning thus, that the Father indeed is so called in relation to the Son, and the Son in relation to the Father, but that they are said to be unbegotten and begotten in relation to themselves, not in relation each to the other, for that it is not the same thing to call him unbegotten as it is to call him the Father, because there would be nothing to hinder are calling him unbegotten, even if he had not begotten the Son, and if any one beget a Son, he is not therefore himself unbegotten, for men who are begotten by other men themselves also begat others, and therefore they say the Father is called the Father in relation to the Son, and the Son is called Son in relation to the Father. But unbegotten is said in relation to himself, and begotten in relation to himself. And therefore, if whatever is said in relation to oneself is said according to substance, while to be unbegotten and to be begotten are different, then the substance is different. If this is what they say, then they do not understand that they do indeed say something that requires more careful discussion in respect to the term unbegotten. Because neither is any one of them therefore a father because unbegotten, nor therefore unbegotten because he is a father, and on that account he is supposed to be called unbegotten, not in relation to anything else, but in respect to himself. But, on the other hand, with a wonderful blindness, they do not perceive that no one can be said to be begotten except in relation to something. For he is therefore a son because begotten, and because a son therefore certainly begotten. And as is the relation of son to father, so is the relation of the begotten to the begetter. And as is the relation of father to son, so is the relation of the begetter to the begotten. And therefore any one is understood to be a begetter under one notion, but understood to be unbegotten under another. For though both are said of God the Father, yet the former is said in relation to the begotten, that is, to the Son, which indeed they do not deny, but that he is called unbegotten they declare to be said in respect to himself. They say then, if anything is said to be a father in respect to itself, which cannot be said to be a son in respect to itself, and whatever is said in respect to self is according to substance, and he is said to be unbegotten in respect to himself, which the Son cannot be said to be, therefore he is said to be unbegotten according to substance, and because the Son cannot be so said to be, therefore he is not of the same substance. This subtlety is to be answered by compelling them to say themselves according to what it is that the Son is equal to the Father, whether according to that which is said in relation to himself, or according to that which is said in relation to the Father. For it is not according to that which is said in relation to the Father, since in relation to the Father he is said to be the Son, and the Father is not Son, but Father. Since Father and Son are not so called in relation to each other in the same way as friends and neighbors are, for a friend is so called relatively to his friend, and if they love each other equally, then the same friendship is in both, and a neighbor is so called relatively to a neighbor, and because they are equally neighbors to each other, for each is neighbor to the other in the same degree as the other is neighbor to him, there is the same neighborhood in both. But because the Son is not so called relatively to the Son, but to the Father, it is not according to that which is said in relation to the Father that the Son is equal to the Father, and yet it remains that he is equal according to that which is said in relation to himself. But whatever is said in relation to self is said according to substance. It remains therefore that he is equal according to substance. Therefore the substance both is the same. But when the Father is said to be unbegotten, it is not said what he is, but what he is not. And when a relative term is denied, it is not denied according to substance, since the relative itself is not affirmed according to substance. The addition of a negative does not change the predicament. This is to be made clear by examples, and first we must notice that by the word begotten is signified the same thing as signified by the word son. For therefore a son, because begotten, and because a son, therefore certainly begotten, by the word unbegotten, therefore, it is declared that he is not son. But begotten and unbegotten are both of them terms subtly employed, whereas in Latin, when we use the word filius, but the custom of the language does not allow us to speak of in filius. It makes no difference, however, in the meaning if he is called non-filius, just as it is precisely the same thing if he is called non-genitus, instead of in-genitus. For so the terms of both neighbor and friend are used relatively, yet we cannot speak of in-vincinus as we can of inimicus. Wherefore, in speaking of this thing or that, we must not consider what the usage of our own language either allows or does not allow, but what clearly appears to be the meaning of the things themselves. Let us not therefore any longer call it unbegotten, although it can be so called in Latin, but instead of this let us call it not begotten, which means the same. Is this then anything else than saying that he is not a son? Now, the prefixing of that negative particle does not make that to be said according to substance, which without it is said relatively, but that only is denied, which without it was affirmed, as in the other predicaments. When we say he is a man, we denote substance. He therefore, who says he is not a man, enunciates no other kind of predicament, but only denies that. As therefore I affirm according to substance in saying he is a man, so I deny according to substance in saying he is not a man. And when the question is asked how large he is, and I say he is quadrup petiole, that is, 4 feet in measure, I affirm according to quantity, and he who says he is not quadrupedal denies according to quantity. I say he is white, I affirm according to quality. If I say he is not white, I deny according to quality. I say he is near, I affirm according to relation. If I say he is not here, I deny according to relation. I affirm according to position when I say he lies down. I deny according to position when I say he does not lie down. I speak according to condition when I say he is armed. I deny according to condition when I say he is not armed. And it comes to the same thing as if I should say he is unarmed. I affirm according to time when I say he is of yesterday. I deny according to time when I say he is not of yesterday. And when I say he is at Rome, I affirm according to place. And I deny according to place when I say he is not at Rome. I affirm according to the predicament of action when I say he smites. But if I say he does not smite, I deny according to action, so as to declare that he does not so act. And when I say he is smitten, I affirm according to the predicament of passion. And I deny according to the same when I say he is not smitten. And in a word, there is no kind of predicament according to which we may please to affirm anything without being proved to deny according to the same predicament, if we prefix the negative particle. And since this is so, if I were to affirm according to substance in saying sun, I should deny according to substance in saying not sun. But because I affirm relatively when I say he is sun, for I refer to the Father, therefore I deny relatively if I say he is not a son, for I refer the same negation to the Father, in that I wish to declare that he is not a parent. But if to be called son is precisely equivalent to the being called begotten, as we said before, then to be called not begotten is precisely equivalent to the being called not son. But we deny relatively when we say he is not son. Therefore, we deny relatively when we say he is not begotten. Further, what is unbegotten unless not begotten? We do not escape, therefore, from the relative predicament when he is called unbegotten. For as begotten is not said in relation to self, but in that he is of a begetter, so when one is called unbegotten, he is not so called in relation to himself, but it is declared that he is not of a begetter. Both meanings, however, turn about the same predicament, which is called that of relation. But that which is asserted relatively does not denote substance, and accordingly, although begotten and unbegotten are diverse, they do not denote a different substance, because as a son referred to father, and not son to not father, so it follows inevitably that begotten must be referred to begetter, and not begotten to not begetter. Chapter 8. Whatever is spoken of God according to substance is spoken of each person severally, and together of the Trinity itself. One essence in God, and three in Greek, hypostasis in Latin, persons. Wherefore, let us hold this above all, that whatsoever is said of that most eminent and divine loftiness in respect to itself is said in respect to substance, but that which is said in relation to anything is not said in respect to substance, but relatively, and that the effect of the same substance is Father and Son and Holy Spirit is, that whatsoever is said of each in respect to themselves is to be taken of them, not in the plural in some, but in the singular. For as the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, which no one doubts to be said in respect to substance, yet we do not say that the very Supreme Trinity itself is three gods, but one God. So the Father is great, the Son great, and the Holy Spirit great. Yet not three greats, but one great. For it is not written of the Father alone, as they perversely suppose, but of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are great, you are God alone, and the Father is good, and the Son good, and the Holy Spirit good, yet not three goods, but one good, of whom it is said, None is good save one, that is God. For the Lord Jesus, lest he should be understood as man only by him who said, Good Master, as addressing a man, does not therefore say, There is none good, save the Father alone, but none is good, save one, that is God. For the Father by himself is declared by the name of Father, but by the name of God, both himself and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because the Trinity is one God. But position and condition and places and times are not said to be in God properly, but metaphorically and through similitudes. For he is both said to dwell between the cherubims, which is spoken in respect to position, and to be covered with the deep as with a garment, which is said in respect to condition, and your ears shall have no end, which is said in respect to place. And as respects action or making, perhaps it may be said most truly of God alone. For God alone makes and himself is not made, nor is he liable to passions as far as belongs to that substance whereby he is God. So the Father is omnipotent, the Son omnipotent, and the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Yet not three omnipotents, but one omnipotent. For of him are all things, and through him are all things, and in him are all things, to whom be glory. Whatever, therefore, is spoken of God in respect to himself is both spoken singly as of each person, that is, of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and together of the Trinity itself, not plurally, but in the singular. For inasmuch as to God it is not one thing to be, and another thing to be great, but to him it is the same thing to be as it is to be great. Therefore, as we do not say three essences, so we do not say three greatnesses, but one essence and one greatness. I say essence, which in Greek is called, and which we call more usually substance. They indeed use also the word hypostasis, but they intend to put a difference, I know not what, between ulia and hypostasis. So most of ourselves who treat these things in the Greek language are accustomed to say one essence in three substances. Chapter 9. The Three Persons Not Properly So Called in a Human Sense. But because with us the usage has already obtained that by essence we understand the same thing which is understood by substance, we do not dare say one essence, three substances, but one essence or substance and three persons, as many writers in Latin who treat of these things and are of authority have said, and that they could find not any other more suitable way by which to enunciate in words that which they understood without words. For in truth, as the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit, who is also called the gift of God, is neither the Father nor the Son, certainly they are three. And so it is said plurally, I and my Father are one. For he hath not said, is one, as the Sabellians say, but are one. Yet when the question is asked, what three? Human language labors altogether under great poverty of speech. The answer, however, is given, three persons, not that it may be completely spoken, but that it may not be left wholly unspoken. Chapter 10. Those things which belong absolutely to God as an essence are spoken of the Trinity in the singular, not in the plural. As therefore we do not say three essences, so we do not say three greatnesses, or three who are great. For in things which are great by partaking of greatness, to which it is one thing to be, and another to be great, as a great house, and a great mountain, and a great mind, in these things I say greatness is one thing, and that which is great because of greatness is another, and a great house, certainly, is not absolute greatness itself. But that is absolute greatness by which not only a great house is great, and any great mountain is great, by also which every other thing whatsoever is great, which is called great. So that greatness itself is one thing, and those things are another which are called great from it. And this greatness certainly is primarily great, and in its much more excellent way than those things which are great by partaking of it. But since God is not great with what greatness which is not himself, so that God, in being great, is, as it were, partaker of that greatness. Otherwise, that will be a greatness greater than God, whereas there is nothing greater than God. Therefore, he is great with that greatness by which he himself is that same greatness. And therefore, as we do not say three essences, so neither do we say three greatnesses. For it is the same thing to be God to be, and to be great. For the same reason neither do we say three greats, but one who is great, since God is not great by partaking of greatness, but he is great by himself being great, because he himself is his own greatness. Let the same be said also of the goodness, and of the eternity, and of the omnipotence of God, and in short, of all the predicaments which can be predicated of God, as he is spoken of in respect to himself, not metaphorically and by similitude, but properly. If indeed anything can be spoken of him properly, by the mouth of man. Chapter 11. What is said relatively in the Trinity. But whereas in the same Trinity some things severally are specially predicated, there are in no way said in reference to themselves in themselves, but either in mutual reference or in respect to the creature. And therefore it is manifest that such things are spoken relatively, not in the way of substance, for the Trinity is called one God, great, good, eternal, omnipotent, and the same God himself may be called his own deity, his own magnitude, his own goodness, his own eternity, his own omnipotence. But the Trinity cannot in the same way be called the Father, except perhaps metaphorically, in respect to the creature, on account of the adoption of sons. For that which is written, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," ought certainly not to be understood as if the Son were accepted, or the Holy Spirit were accepted, which one Lord our God we rightfully call also our Father, as regenerating us by his grace. Neither can the Trinity in any ways be called the Son, because it can be called in its entirety the Holy Spirit, according to that which is written, "God is a Spirit," because both the Father is a Spirit, and the Son is a Spirit, and the Father is holy, and the Son is holy. Therefore, since the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God, and certainly God is holy, and God is a Spirit, the Trinity can be called also the Holy Spirit. But yet that Holy Spirit, who is not the Trinity, but is understood as in the Trinity, is spoken of in his proper name of the Holy Spirit relatively, since he is referred both to the Father and to the Son, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit both of the Father and of the Son. But the relation is not itself apparent in the name, but it is apparent when he is called the gift of God. For he is the gift of the Father and of the Son, because he proceeds from the Father, as the Lord says, and because that which the Apostle says, "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He says certainly of the Holy Spirit himself. When we say, therefore, the gift of the giver of the gift, we speak both cases relatively in reciprocal reference. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is a certain unutterable communion of the Father and the Son. And on that account, perhaps, he is so called, because the same name is suitable to both the Father and the Son. For he himself is called specially, that which they are called in common, because both the Father is a Spirit and the Son is a Spirit. Both the Father is holy and the Son is holy. In order, therefore, that the communion of both may be signified from a name which is suitable to both, the Holy Spirit is called the gift of both. And this Trinity is one God, alone, good, great, eternal, omnipotent, itself its own unity, deity, greatness, goodness, eternity, omnipotence. Chapter 12. In relative things that are reciprocal, names are sometimes wanting. Neither ought it to influence us, since we have said that the Holy Spirit is so called relatively, not the Trinity itself, but he who is in the Trinity, that the designation of him to whom he is referred does not seem to answer in turn to his designation. For we cannot, as we say, the servant of a master, and the master of a servant, the son of a father, and the father of a son, so also say here, because these things are said relatively. For we speak of the Holy Spirit of the Father, But, on the other hand, we do not speak of the Father, the Holy Spirit, lest the Holy Spirit should be understood to be his Son. So also we speak of the Holy Spirit of the Son, but we do not speak of the Son of the Holy Spirit, lest the Holy Spirit be understood to be his Father. For it is the case in many relatives that no designation is to be found by which those things which bear relation to each other may, in name, mutually correspond to each other. For what is more clearly spoken relatively than the word earnest? Since it is referred to that of which it is an earnest, and an earnest is always an earnest of something. Can we then, as we say, the earnest of the Father and of the Son, say in turn, the Father of the earnest or the Son of the earnest? But on the other hand, when we say the gift of the Father and the Son, we cannot indeed say the Father of the gift or the Son of the gift, but that these may correspond mutually to each other. We say the gift of the giver and the giver of the gift, because here a word in use may be found, there it cannot. Chapter 13. How the word, beginning, principium, is spoken relatively in the Trinity. The Father is called so, therefore, relatively, and he is also relatively said to be the beginning, and whatever else there may be of the kind, but he is called the Father in relation to the Son, the beginning in relation to all things, which are from him. So the Son is relatively so called. He is called also relative the Word and the Image. And in all these appellations, for when it was said to him, Who are you? He replied, Even the beginning, who also speak to you. But is he, pray, the beginning of the Father? For he intended to show himself to be the Creator, when he said that he was the beginning, as the Father also is the beginning of the creature in that all things are from him. For Creator, too, is spoken relatively to creature, as master to servant. And so we say, both that the Father is the beginning, and that the Son is the beginning. We do not speak of two beginnings of the creature, since both the Father and the Son together is one beginning in respect to the creature, as one Creator, as one God. But if whatever remains within itself and produces or works anything is a beginning, to that thing which it produces or works, then we cannot deny that the Holy Spirit also is rightfully called the beginning, since we do not separate him from the appellation of Creator. And it is written of him that he works, and assuredly in working, he remains within himself. For he himself is not changed and turned into any one of those things which he works, and see what it is that he works. But the manifestation of the Spirit, he said, is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Certainly, as God, for who can work such great things but God? But it is the same God which works all in all. For if we ask point by point concerning the Holy Spirit, we answer most truly that he is God, and with the Father and the Son together he is one God. Therefore God is spoken as of one beginning, in respect to the creature, not as two or three beginnings. Chapter 14. The Father and the Son, the only beginning, principium, of the Holy Spirit. But in their mutual relation to one another in the Trinity itself, if the begetter is a beginning in relation to that which he begets, the Father is a beginning in relation to the Son, because he begets him. But whether the Father is also beginning in relation to the Holy Spirit, since it is said he proceeds from the Father, is no small question. Because, if it is so, he will only be a beginning to that thing which he begets or makes, but also to that which he gives. And here, too, that question comes to light, as it can, which is wont to trouble many. Why the Holy Spirit is not also a Son, since he too comes forth from the Father, as it is read in the Gospel? For the Spirit came forth not as born, but as given, and so he is not called a son, because he was neither born as the only begotten, nor made, so that by the grace of God he might be born into adoption as we are. For that which is born of the Father is referred to the Father only when he called Son, and the Son is the Son of the Father, and not also our Son. But that which is given is referred both to him who gave and to those to whom he gave. And so the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of the Father and of the Son who gave him, but he is also called ours, who have received him as the salvation of the Lord. Who gives salvation is said also to be our salvation who have received it. Therefore, the Spirit is both the Spirit of God who gave him and ours who have received him. Not indeed that Spirit of ours by which we are, because that is the Spirit of a man which is in him. But this Spirit is ours in another mode, vis-a-vis that in which we also say, Give us this day our bread. Although certainly we have received that Spirit also, which is called the Spirit of a man. For what have you, he says, which you did not receive? But that is one thing, which we have received that we might be another, that which we have received that we might be holy. Whence it is also written of John, that he came in the Spirit and power of Elias, and by the Spirit of Elias is meant the Holy Spirit, whom Elias received. And the same thing is to be understood of Moses, when the Lord says to him, And I will take of your spirit and will put it upon them. That is, I will give to them of the Holy Spirit, which I had already given to you. If therefore that also which is given as him for beginning by whom it is given, since it has received from no other source that which proceeds from him, it must be admitted that the Father and the Son are beginning of the Holy Spirit, not two beginnings, but as the Father and the Son are one God, and one Creator, and one Lord relatively to the creature, so are they one beginning relatively to the Holy Spirit. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one beginning in respect to the creature, as also one Creator and one God. Chapter 15. Whether the Holy Spirit was a gift before as well as after he was given. But it is asked further whether, as the Son, by being born, has not only this, that he is the Son, but that he is absolutely, and so also the Holy Spirit, by being given, has not only this, that he is given, but that he is absolutely whether therefore he was, before he was given, but not yet a gift, or whether for the very reason that God was about to give him. He was already a gift also before he was given. But if he does not proceed unless he is given, and assuredly could not proceed before there one to whom he might be given, how, in that case, was he absolutely in his very substance? If he is not unless because he is given, just as the Son, by being born, not only has this, that he is a Son, which is said relatively, but his very substance absolutely so that he is. Does the Holy Spirit proceed always, and proceed not in time, but from eternity? But because he was so preceded that he was capable of being given, was already a gift even before there was one to whom he might be given? For there is a difference in meaning between a gift and a thing that has been given. For a gift may exist even before it is given, but it cannot be called a thing that has been given, unless it has been given. Chapter 16. What is said of God in time is said relatively, not accidentally. Nor let it trouble us that the Holy Spirit, although he is co-eternal with the Father and the Son, yet is called something which exists in time, as, for instance, this very thing which we have called him, a thing that has been given. For the Spirit is a gift eternally, but a thing that has been given in time. For if a Lord also is not so called unless when he begins to have a slave, that appellation likewise is relative and in time to God. For the creature is not from all eternity, of which he is the Lord. How then shall we make it good that relative terms themselves are not accidental, since nothing happens accidentally to God in time, because he is capable of change, as though we have argued in the beginning of this discussion. Behold, to be the Lord is not eternal to God. Otherwise, we should be compelled to say that the creature also is from eternity, since he would not be a Lord from all eternity unless the creature also was a servant from all eternity. But as he cannot be a slave who has not a Lord, neither can he be a Lord who has not a slave. And if there be any one who says that God indeed is alone eternal, and that times are not eternal on account of their variety and changeableness, but that time nevertheless did not begin to be in time, for there was no time before time began, and therefore it did not happen to God in time that he should be Lord, since he was Lord of the very times themselves, which assuredly did not begin in time. What will he reply respecting man who, made in time, of whom he assuredly he was not the Lord before he was of whom he was to be the Lord? Certainly, to be the Lord of man happened to God in time, and that all dispute may seem to be taken away, certainly, to be Lord, your Lord, or mine, who have only lately begun to be, happened to God in time. Or, if this too seems uncertain on account of the obscure question respecting the soul, already existed, which that people had, a matter into which we do not know now inquire, yet that people existed not as yet, and the time is apparent when it began to exist. Lastly, that he should be Lord of this or that tree, or of this or that grain crop, which only lately began to be, happened in time. Since, although the matter itself already existed, yet it is one thing to be the Lord of the matter, matriae, another to be the Lord of the already created nature, nature. For man, too, is Lord of the wood at one time, and at another he is Lord of the chest, although fabricated of that same wood, which he certainly was not at the time when he was already the Lord of the wood. How, then, shall we make it good that nothing is said of God according to accident, except because nothing happens to his nature by which he may be changed? So that those things are relative accidents which happens in connection with some change of the things of which they are spoken, as a friend is so called relatively, for he does not begin to be one, unless when he has begun to love, therefore some change of it will take place, in order that he may be called a friend. And money, when it is called a price, is spoken of relatively, and yet it was not changed when it began to be a price, nor again when it is called a pledge, or any other thing of the kind. If therefore money can so often be spoken of relatively with no change of itself, so that neither when it begins nor when it ceases to be spoken of does any change take place in the nature or form of it, whereby it is money, how much more easily ought we to admit, concerning the unchangeable substance of God, that something may be so predicated relatively in respect to the creature, that, although it begin to be so predicated in time, yet nothing shall be understood to have happened to the substance and self of God, but only to that creature in respect to which it is predicated. Lord, it is said, you have been made our refuge. God, therefore, is said to be our refuge relatively, for he is referred to us, and he then becomes our refuge when we flee to him. Pray, does anything come to pass then in his nature, which before we fled to him was not? In us, therefore, some change does take place, for we were worse before we fled to him, and we become better by fleeing to him. But in him there is no change. So also he begins to be our Father when we are regenerated through his grace, since he gave us power to become the sons of God. Our substance, therefore, is changed for the better when we become his sons, and he at the same time begins to be our Father, but without any change of his own substance. Therefore, that which begins to be spoken of God in time, and which was not spoken of him before, is manifestly spoken of him relatively, yet not according to any accident of God, so that anything should have happened to him, but clearly according to some accident of that, in respect to which God begins to be called something relatively. When a righteous man begins to be a friend of God, he himself is changed. But far be it from us to say that God loves any one in time with, as it were, a new love, which was not in him before, with whom things gone by have not passed away, and things future have been already done. Therefore, he loved all his saints before the foundation of the world, as he predestined them. But when they are converted and find them, then they are said to begin to be loved by him, that what is said may be said in that way in which it can be comprehended by human affections. So also, when he is said to be angry with the unrighteous and gentle with the good, they are changed, not he. Just as the light is troublesome to weak eyes, pleasant to those that are strong, namely by their change, not its own.